Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got a note from Milwaukee earlier this morning. You know, we've had phone lines open all week long. We've had some guests join us on the show, including several guests who have been in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention this week, the Montanans who are out there attending that in person. But I had a note earlier this morning from Stacy Zinn. She's in Milwaukee for the Republican National Convention. Of course, you guys know who Stacy Zinn is. She was the head of the DEA here in Montana. Several tours overseas in Afghanistan, and then several tours down in South America and elsewhere. And then, hey, you think you go to Montana, going to be a little quieter, get to kick back a little bit, and oh, no, no. She found herself right on the front lines fighting the Mexican drug cartels right here in Montana. Well, like I say, she is back in Milwaukee, but she said, hey, do you want me to call into the show? Well, heck yeah, call into the show, because we've got the phone lines open for you as well here for the full hour. But we'll start with a great phone call coming up here from Stacy Zinn on the ground in Milwaukee. This was very interesting. I ran into Stacy Zinn and a bunch of other folks last week. I think it was last Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. And she said, yeah, I'm heading out to the Republican National Convention. And she says, I'm heading out Saturday. And she was telling me how another friend of hers was asking her, hey, when are you flying out? Maybe we can travel together. And she said, oh, no, I'm going Saturday. And this friend of hers said, well, why are you going Saturday instead of Sunday? That's when everybody else is going, is on Sunday. And she said, well, I'm going out early because, man, given how crazy everything's getting right now, she says, I want to go do my own little recon. I want to find where the evacuation routes are. I want to see, you know, possible, you know, ways to get out if I need to get out. I don't want to get stuck in some big mob of a crowd if chaos breaks out. And then, of course, what just happened this past Saturday, as she was likely either already on the ground in Milwaukee or was en route herself to the Republican National Convention, hearing and seeing the news of this assassination attempt on President Donald J. Trump. So anyway, I'm looking forward to catching up with Stacy Zinn. She'll be first up on the phone lines coming up here right after the break. And then we've got phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about here on this Thursday's Montana Talks, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well. So yeah, it's kind of one of those questions. Where do we start here today? You know, obviously we'll start with Stacy Zinn, but Gold Star families were honored last night at day three of the RNC convention. President Trump's granddaughter certainly captured a lot of hearts last night, as she described Donald Trump, the typical grandfather, last night. That was a great speech that she gave. So that and much more coming up right after this. But again, this is the show where you get to talk. You get to be heard all across Montana. So let us know where you want to start, what you want to talk about.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here. Yeah, Stacy Zinn, great to have you back on the program here. You might not have heard me mention it to the listeners before you got on the phone lines here, but I was telling them about our conversation about how you were gearing up. You went to Milwaukee early so you could get your own eyes on assessment of the security situation, just in case anything crazy might happen. And but first, before we get to that, just talk about what, you know, you went from being the head of the DEA in Montana to then running for Congress. And I'm assuming maybe this is probably your first ever convention, if you hadn't been to one before in a security position.
Well, Aaron, good morning from Milwaukee. Yes, this is my first RNC convention, and this is fabulous. It's just a wonderful place to be right now. The atmosphere is ecstatic. Seeing President Trump, you know, Don Jr. I mean, just all the wonderful people. It's awesome. But with that being said, yes, I did come a day early just because of my security background. I used to be an executive protection agent before getting a DEA, so doing advanced work and stuff. I wanted to make sure that I had eyes on of in case there's something break bad, what I can do to support our Montana delegates if there was an emergency situation. So, yes, I did come in and travel 24 hours early, got to look at the exits and all that stuff, and make sure that I knew the routes, and, yeah, I'm glad I did it.
I saw some of those pro-Hamas left-wing nut jobs were attempting to assault Derek Van Orden, a congressman out of Wisconsin. He's a retired Navy SEAL, so he can handle his own, but it just shows that even after an assassination attempt on President Donald J. Trump, these nut jobs are still coming out and trying to cross the line.
Well, actually, the mayor here encouraged the protesters to come out. He says, I support the protesters. They can come out. And so basically he just said, yeah, it's a free-for-all. So unfortunately, we are seeing those types of people on the street corners and stuff, but the security here is pretty solid. It's pretty tight. So, you know, several ways in and some exits here at the convention. So I feel very confident that if something does happen, we have enough boots on the ground here to take care of business.
You know, how interesting that you had the foresight to go there early, just knowing how crazy everything's getting in our country right now. But then you were probably en route, or had you already landed when you got the news that there was this assassination attempt on President Trump?
Well, it's unfortunate what happened. I had already walked this area. I saw some vulnerabilities initially looking up high. You know, I was talking to compadre saying, hey, it looks like there's some security issues with the hotel windows and stuff like that. And I had actually vacated this area, went, you know, a couple blocks to the east, and that's when I got the shocking news of the attempted assassination of President Trump. Fortunately, within that 24 hours, they extended the security perimeter, and which took care of the any chance of any type of sniper action coming from the hotel rooms or the business buildings surrounding the convention.
What have the first few days been like? Were you in the convention arena when Donald Trump entered it for the first time since that assassination attempt? Everybody I've talked to, from Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio to Don Kay with the Montana GOP, and heck, even the never Trumper Chuck Todd from Meet the Press, says he has a different look in his eye, and they're wondering, you know, how this has changed Donald Trump and what that might inspire in his message tonight.
Oh, Aaron, I had chills. When we saw him in the tunnel, they had him obviously on camera. There's just loud cheers and roars from the crowd. He had his bandage on his ear. But when you see the camera focused on his face and his eyes, you see a different Trump. You see a Trump that wants to unite the United States of America. You see him. There's a calm Trump, and you can tell that he is very gracious, very humble with all the support. But there is a shift, and I would actually say that there was probably some moisture around his eyes, but I had heard from Don Jr. that he said it was allergies when he...
Wow. And then just your thoughts, and again, thanks for calling in this morning, but before we get to other callers, your thoughts as somebody who did executive protection and worked in federal law enforcement. I mean, this isn't just one failure. This is a failure on a number of fronts, so badly that it's no wonder people are asking questions if somebody deliberately allowed this attack to take place on President Trump, because there were so many failures, so many fronts.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, having them being able to allow someone to climb up on that building so close to the perimeter and stuff, and being able to do what he did is... There needs, and I know there will be, a full-blown investigation, but I fear that the people, some of the people that are going to the investigation, so I'm hoping that you know, the Jim Jordans of Congress and other associates are going to stay, keep their finger on the pulse of what happened. This should never, ever had happened. And hopefully this is a wake-up call for this current administration and for former former heads of agencies out there.
Yeah, and of course, you know, this Secret Service director, you know, I mean, just arrogance is, I think, the best way to describe her lack of response and lack of transparency. She was even approached by two United States senators in the hallway of the convention, and she refused to even stop, let alone answer any questions. Stacey Zinn, thanks for your service. Thanks for calling in. And yeah, great to hear from you once again.
Thank you. Take care. Take care to the listeners.
Yeah, yeah. God bless. Safe travels to you and everybody else. And also just enjoy it. Have fun. You know, like I've said before, no matter which side of the aisle you're on, witnessing these national political conventions and getting to do it firsthand is just an absolute incredible, sometimes once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So enjoy it while you're back there as well. Say hi to all our Montana friends. We'll get to your phone calls next.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I got a great montage from Fox and Friends earlier this morning, kind of showing some of the highlights of last night's convention coverage, the keynote speakers at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. And then I wanted to whip together a quick little montage of my own here. Soundbites from President Trump's granddaughter, a soundbite from Donald Trump Jr., and then a soundbite you might not be expecting. This is from Van Jones on CNN. Remember, he was Obama's green energy czar, very radical leftist guy, but he talked about how a bullet couldn't stop Trump, but yet a virus is stopping Joe Biden. I just whipped that together during the break. Maybe I'll play it for you here in a second. But first, let's get to your phone calls. What do you want to talk about? 294-0970. Lee in Kalispell, what's going on?
Hi, Aaron. Yes, I'm talking about if you vote for a Democrat, chances are you're keeping the borders open. Now, part of the trouble with that is you're also keeping the fentanyl flowing. If you happen to get a look-alike pill, looks like your prescription, if you happen to take one of those and it has to be happen to be fentanyl, you're gone.
Yeah, yeah. I just saw a news article earlier this morning where the state has apparently got some money to allocate with regard to the opioid epidemic. And one thing they're looking at doing, but it still needs to get approved, et cetera, is they want to put 24 vending machines across the state of Montana. And I think those vending machines would include basically Narcan in the vending machines. That's how bad the opioid epidemic is getting. So to your point, like, you know, you think you're getting some mail order prescription from that. That's why I would go with a Montana prescription, go with a Montana pharmacy that you trust. Right. But you might think you're getting something and instead, no, it's bad fentanyl and UOD right there. You're out.
Yeah, but to what? Okay, so they're setting up these machines. My question is, for that, if you're taking other prescriptions, what if they interfere with them?
Yeah, which is why you want to go to a local Montana pharmacy that you trust, so you can talk with them.
The new machines they're putting in, if you take one of those and it has to be counteracts or has an effect on your other drugs you're taking.
Yeah, yeah, no, well, I don't think these vending machines would have actual prescription drugs. Although, yeah, what would be the impact of the Narcan, I guess? Well, but then again, if somebody's laid out, you don't have time to, you know, think about, you know, what other medications you're on. You just got to revive somebody and then help them out as best as you can after that fact. Lee, thanks for calling, though. No, very important point. Appreciate you calling in. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Strider in Plentywood. Strider, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron. I listened to your show from 9 to 10.
Well, thank you.
Cutting grass. But I just wanted to talk about where I was during the attempted Trump assassination. But just hearing that, I thought, like, he was shot. And, like, when my mom sent me the message saying that they just assassinated Trump, not knowing that, I thought he was killed. But not knowing that that man stood up with his fist in the air while he was shot in the ear. This man is meant to unite the United States, and we need him in office.
Yeah, I mean, so powerful, right? Yeah, so the first message you got was from one of my kids, and he was working. He was making pizzas at a pizza joint down the road from the house. And sometimes, like on a Saturday afternoon, I'll put my phone in the other room. I'm certainly trying to get away from the news for a little while. And so, I wasn't watching the rally. I was just kind of tuning out. Right. And the first message I get was from my kid saying somebody tried to shoot Trump. And of course they actually did shoot him, but just in the ear. But yeah, the first message you got was you thought that they actually took him out, which was what they were within millimeters of doing. Think about, so that's the message you received in, the northeast corner of Montana. Think about the message that was received in every corner of the world when they saw what you saw as well, right?
Right. It was just the same, all these other, sorry. This is my first time on radio.
No, you're doing great. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, just to hear, imagine if you're just another person listening in to hearing the news, I'm pretty sure they would have been shocked as well. But right now, I mean, if Trump was killed, Russia would have, why would Russia hold back on a full-scale invasion on Ukraine while China would easily take Taiwan, I mean, why wait? That's putting the American people in turmoil. And if Trump was shot, it would be full-on civil war.
Yeah, it's you hate to even think what would have been had his head been slightly turned the other direction, right? No, you nailed it. Look at everything. I mean, look at the way China and Russia have been running the table in the last 3 years because they have seen weakness in the White House. They've seen a weak foreign policy. They've seen a government that has been weaponized against everyday American people and the political opposition of Joe Biden and John Tester. But then that same government rolls over and isn't treated seriously by the rest of the world. And so that's why Putin went on the march. That's why the Taliban went on the march. That's why then Putin went on the march in Ukraine. That's why China has gone on the march all over the world.
Exactly. And with all the Iran and, their alliances or whatever they have down there, why wait on a full-scale invasion of Israel, as well?
Yeah, exactly. Had we not had the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, then Putin, then he smelled blood in the water. So he thought, hey, I'm going to go take Ukraine. And then the Hamas terrorists are like, wow, well, hey, if it's this easy for everybody else, we're going to go commit the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust. And the dominoes kept falling, didn't they? Great phone call. Strider, thanks for listening in. And yeah, sounds like that was your first call in ever. You'll have to call in again. Appreciate hearing from you. 406-294-0970. Next up, we got Roger in Billings. Roger, thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
This segues nicely into your last call. Someone said in the past that if we forget the lessons of history, we're doomed to repeat them. Well, Vance and Trump, which are my heroes, by the way, I'm a Republican and they've got my vote, but they're making a mistake with Ukraine, and that is this America's first. It sounds great. In World War II, we had the League of Nations. I have a recording by Henry Cabot Lodge after the League of Nations was begging for help from the United States against the invasion of Hitler. And this was Ethiopia, and Haile Selassie was giving the speech regarding it. But Henry Cabot Lodge said, I have no allegiance to these things overseas, and he called them a mongrel banner. Well, we did eventually have to fight Hitler, and we will eventually have to fight Putin after he takes quite a bit of Europe. And what I get from Vance and Trump is this is not our problem. Well, we fought Germany and Japan at the same time, and we're worried about now if we have to fight Russia, we'll have to worry about the Chinese taking over Taiwan. Well, so be it. You know, we're faced with that situation, but we cannot turn our back and let them take everything they want.
For people who've wargamed this kind of question that you're throwing out there, you know, first off, the big picture is if Donald J. Trump had been president for the last 3 years, we wouldn't have had a war in Ukraine in the first place, because we would have had peace through strength that prevents things like that from happening instead of having to. So the hard part is, what do we do in the meantime between now and January of 2025, after the red carpet's been rolled out for all of America's enemies and billions of dollars flow to Iran? What do we do in the meantime? And that's where the debate is amongst conservatives. Well, do we keep funneling money to Ukraine as we're $35 trillion in debt? It's a war that wouldn't have happened if Donald Trump were still president, and Donald Trump's going to bring it to a halt if he becomes president. But what do we do in the meantime? But the broader question is, you know, I think most of us would agree that we are on the brink of World War III because of these failed policies of Joe Biden and John Tester. What happens if we actually enter into said World War III? I mean, the Democrats have already been talking about drafting your daughters, drafting your granddaughters. But the question people are asking is okay, you know, we've had our military severely weakened by COVID vaccine mandates, by woke policies, you know, pushing men into women's showers in the military, all sorts of garbage that's destroying recruitment and retention right now. So would we even be ready? We've depleted our munitions on the war that they basically rolled out the red carpet for. So I guess the question is, are we as a nation, meaning everyday people, do we have the strength and the resolve that the pre-World War II generation had after, you know what I mean? Like, you know, is it going to be, what's your pronouns?
Well, the alternative, Aaron, in my point of view is, well, then build their strength, let them have Ukraine. But that's the alternative, is let them have Ukraine.
I don't think so. I mean, Joe Biden let them. Well, is it just going to be a minor incursion? I think we're going to see peace through strength once again, just like when Ronald Reagan was riding in the presidential limo to the White House and those American hostages finally started getting released. That's the kind of strength we're going to see once again. But thanks for the call. Quick break.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
In response to a week-long social media backlash, John Deere and Company has announced on Tuesday that it will no longer support certain external or cultural awareness events and will eliminate socially motivated messages from its policies. Deere emphasized it has never had diversity quotas in its hiring practices, but remains committed to advancing organizational diversity. The announcement follows similar actions by Tractor Supply Company last month after facing conservative criticism over its corporate diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, policies and environmental efforts. The campaigns were spearheaded by Robbie Starbuck, a filmmaker and former Tennessee Republican congressional candidate who accused both companies of being woke. Starbuck's social media attacks, which began in June against Tractor Supply and continued with Deere, highlighted the company's DEI practices and recent layoffs. Deere responded by revising its sponsorship policies to focus on business-related initiatives and reaffirm its stance against diversity quotas and pronoun identification in company policies. In a statement, Deere stated, quote, "We value our employees and are committed to aligning our policies with customer needs," end quote. John Deere also announced further layoffs, with 345 production workers in Waterloo, Iowa, set to lose their jobs following earlier layoffs this year, affecting around 2,000 employees. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana.
statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me roll this montage that I threw together real fast for you here out real quick, and then we'll jump right into phone lines because we got full phone lines right now, and we'll get to every single one of you if you're on the phone lines right now for sure, and then maybe more after that. So I think if I've got my order correct here, I whipped together a montage of sound bites. First up is CNN's Van Jones, who is Obama's green energy czar. Right after that is Donald Trump Jr. Right after that is President Trump's granddaughter, who gave a remarkable speech last night talking about Donald Trump, the grandpa. Okay, I just went through it. There we go. Okay, let me restart it. Here we go.
If you pull back and look at this thing, strength versus weakness, a bullet couldn't stop Trump. A virus just stopped Biden. You've got the nominees of this party getting their butts kissed. Biden's getting his butt kicked by his own party. The Democrats are coming apart. The Republicans are coming together. That's what's happening.
What was my father's instinct as his life was on the line? Not to cower, not to surrender, but to show for all the world to see that the next American president has the heart of a lion.
On Saturday, I was shocked when I heard that he has been shot. And I just wanted to know if he was okay. It was heartbreaking that someone would do that to another person. A lot of people have put my grandpa through hell, and he's still standing.
All right, let's go right back to your phone calls here. We've got Pamela in Whitefish next up, listening to KJJR. Pamela, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was calling to tell you that on Flashpoint News, on the Victory Channel, on satellite TV, I did see the cameraman took shots of all the porta potties that were lined up at the border. And in the porta potty, it had a sign that said, if you want to stay in America, you got to vote for Biden on every porta potty that they came across. And it described and learned how to do it. And it was in English and also in Spanish.
Yeah, but I got to say that wouldn't surprise me because everything that is set up to support those illegal aliens on our southern border right now is a vote Biden operation. It is a vote buying operation, and they are trying to turn this country into something else, right?
Exactly.
So, did you hear? Let's see, Pamela, did you get a chance to see retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Klem when he was in Kalispell? What was that, 2-3 weeks ago when we did our statewide tour? Did you get a chance to go to that event by chance?
No, I didn't.
That's all right. That's all right. Well, hopefully you got a chance to hear him on the radio. And Pamela, thanks for the call, because if you got a chance to go watch him speak in Kalispell or the other towns that we brought him to, he described those migrant shelters on the southern border. And he finally retired like 19 months ago. That's how recently he retired, because he was so sick of what was going on under this Biden tester regime. And what he said was that they were, as I mentioned this yesterday briefly, that they were spending $500,000 a day for one of these migrant shelters. $500,000 every day for one migrant shelter. And he described what these migrant shelters were. It was like a full-blown, they had health care, free health care for the people that, well, not free because you pay for it. They had health care. They had meals. They had hot showers. They had everything. Rolled out the red carpet for these illegal aliens. $500,000 a day. So the fact that there might be porta potties with the words vote Biden on the side of it would not surprise me in the least. Not in the least. Troy Miller in Bozeman. Hey, Troy, it's been great to run into you recently. Thanks for calling in.
You bet, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's going on?
Late last night, I cruised around on X, and there's a article, a post out there. I don't know if you're familiar. First off, full disclosure, I'm a broker. I am not. I am not recommending anyone buy DJT, which is social media for Trump. So the day before, Aaron, the day before the attempted assassination, a company that's called Austin Financial, let me make sure I got that name correct. It says Austin Private Wealth LLC. Shorted, if you know what shorting means, you're betting on a company to go down. The day before the attempted assassination, they shorted 12,000 contracts, which is 12 million shares. That is an extremely large bet the day before the assassination. Shorting means you want the stock to go down. You're trying to push the stock down. The day before the assassination, that company took the largest position, short position, on DJT, which is Trump's social media site. What did they know, and when did they know it? That's the question. And then if you look into the stockholders of that company, Austin Private Wealth, it says right on the website, BlackRock and Vanguard are two of the larger shareholders.
Well, so, they're kind of a part of everybody, too. Yeah, I saw something about that. I think one of our listeners messaged that to me. I haven't been able to independently verify it myself. I did see, though, that there was a BlackRock commercial, and this shooter, who, of course, was killed after firing shots at President Trump and then taking the life of the retired fire chief who was shielding his family in the audience, that kid, when he was in high school, was featured in that. His face is shown inside this BlackRock commercial. So that was just kind of weird, especially because BlackRock has been pushing all this woke, crazy, left-wing nonsense. They've been trying to push it on corporate America. Some of you heard how, you know, John Deere, thankfully, is rolling back their DEI nonsense after Tractor Supply Company took a $2 billion hit for pushing DEI nonsense. And BlackRock is the one that's pushing all this stuff and forcing it on companies. In fact, they might even be taking your own pensions and your own investments and using it without you even really knowing that it's happening. But, you know, when it comes to this assassination attempt, there's far too many questions. There's far too many failures. It's not just one thing that they screwed up. It's way too many things that they screwed up. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso and Kentucky Senator Marsha Blackburn, you know, the Secret Service director, who should have already resigned, who should have already been fired, is refusing to answer key questions, refusing to share pertinent information. And they finally tried to confront her at the Republican National Convention. She was walking through the hallway at the Republican National Convention, refused to stop and even say hi to these two to these two United States senators. And so they confronted her on camera as she basically ran away. Here's what they shared afterwards.
I'm John Barrasso, chairman of the Senate Republican Conference. And Senator Blackburn and I just went face-to-face with the director of the Secret Service, asking for specific answers about what happened with President Trump in Pennsylvania and how that shooter was able to get off a clear shot when the FBI and the Secret Service knew that there was a suspicious person an hour in advance of when the shooting occurred.
And they identified a potential threat at 5:51. She would not answer our questions. She wanted to say it was not the time or place. This is after we've been through a conference call today where the question queue got cut off. But I've got a message for her. She can run, but she cannot hide, because the American people want to know how an assassination attempt was carried out on former President Donald Trump.
All right. Yeah, pretty sad state of affairs when two U.S. senators have to try to confront her, you know, when she won't just stop and even say hello. Let's see. Don in Great Falls, what's on your mind?
Aaron, I believe it is a deep, deep, deep state situation. I think Trump should can the top 10 people in every one of them operations and start over and bring some young guys in that really honestly love this country. That's my thought.
Well, and look, it's the reason people are asking these questions and raising those concerns is because there was simply too many failures to just say that this was just a little bit of ineptness. Too many failures.
That's right. And the same thing with Kennedy. 15 years from now, we'll find out what really happened.
All right,
both
Don.
Both of us will be dead.
All right, Don, thanks for the call. I got to hit another heartbreak right now. Stand by if you got more to share. If not, I got Perry in Columbus right after you.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I've got a message here from Evan in Belt. Came in last night on our Montana Talks app. I've been looking at it all morning. Haven't even gotten a chance to share it yet, but it seems timely right now. And it ties in with that conversation that I had with Strider out of Plentywood, KATQ country, just a few minutes ago. But Evan in Belt says this. So do you think that our adversarial leaders all over the world are watching and taking note of our 2024 election season? You bet your life they are. And they see exactly what we see. On one hand, they see a weak man whom they like raise his sleeve for a COVID shot in the arm, and apparently it is still going to sideline him. On the other hand, they see a strong man who takes a shot in the ear from a would-be assassin and, thank God, stands up, raises his fist, and encourages us to fight for this country. And like the Democrats, it scares the hell out of them because they know he will lead us back to a position of strength. Evan in Belt continues saying, don't get me wrong. I wish Joe well if he has COVID. But if they do replace him, it doesn't matter. It's the policies they have that are ruining our great country. This doesn't mean we should let our guard down because these people will do anything to stay in power. They don't care about Americans, just power. Stay engaged. That's from Evan in Belt. And Evan, thanks for that message and thanks for your service. So one of our fellow veterans out there. Let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron and Montana. Can't you all just smell the fear and desperation of the bi-coastal radical leftist elites and their comrades in the big cities and everywhere in interior America? It hangs in the air like wildfire smoke and seems to have a sickly, sweet and sour scent that is somehow pleasing to my nostrils. But remember, there's nothing more dangerous than a cornered, wounded animal. These tyrants will stop at nothing to retain the power of our country's federal government and must all be shown the proverbial door. Montanans can do our part in a clean sweep by firing the flip-flop, flat-top big boy from Big Sandy. That being said, the Stillwater County Republican women still have some tester equals swamp rat or tester equals deep state bumper stickers left, and I am blowing them out for a dollar apiece plus any mailing cost.
Oh, that's
great.
The
best way to help terminate him is to call me directly at 406-322-9950. We must all help President Trump have a solid Republican majority in the Senate and House so he can make America great again. And, Aaron, I'm going to set aside a few of each for you for all of your good work.
Hey, you're too kind. You're too kind. By the way, on a lighter note, the Unleash Prosperity hotline this morning, Travis just pointed this out to me. They have a photo of President Trump, you know, with the bandage on his right ear, and then they put the MyPillow logo on it, so it looks like he has a little miniature MyPillow on his right ear there.
I couldn't help myself.
Oh, it was great. Perry, always a pleasure. So well spoken. Thanks for calling in. Let's see. We've only got a couple of minutes to go here. You know what? What better way to close than by, other than Perry and Columbus, of course, than by hearing from World War II D-Day veteran Sergeant William Peckrell, who spoke last night at the Republican National Convention. Here you go. The Daily Wire highlighted this as well.
America, people say, America is an idea. But I believe America is much more than that. America is our home. You know, when I was fighting in Europe and I came back home, I kissed the ground, thanking God that I'm back home and out for my country. And where I come from, when somebody comes for me or my home, you dig in your boots in the ground and never look back. That's the attitude that saved the free world and those years ago. And President Trump, back in Commander-in-Chief, I would go back to re-enlist today. And I would storm whatever beach my country needs me to.
There you go. 99-year-old Wisconsin veteran says if President Trump is Commander-in-Chief once again, he'd re-enlist at 99 years old. He's got that blue cord and the CIB.